Okay, I want to speak about a Rashi in this week's Sedra that I think brings out a few different very important principles in Yiddishkeit. Rashi says like this, that when they finished the Mishkan, so they couldn't put it up. It was impossible to put up the crushing, the beams of the Mishkan. So they brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was extremely upset that he didn't have anything to do in building the Mishkan. Everybody else did it. So the Rabbanu Shlom told him, don't worry. Nobody's going to be able to put it up, only you. Moshe said, I can't put it up. So that's it, don't worry. You put your hand on the beam, and I'll put it up. It'll look like you're putting it up. And not only did Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, but the whole 7 days of the Miluim, when they were installing the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and took it down every day. That's basically what Rashi says. A few problems. First of all, they were able to put up the Mishkan the whole 40 years in the desert. That's what the Levim did. So why all of a sudden they couldn't put up the Mishkan? So it must be there was a miracle. That God made it that they couldn't put it up, and that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be the one to put it up in order to make him feel good that he had something to do, because it couldn't get put up without him. The only problem is that if Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't put it up, it only looked like he was putting up, so how did that make him feel good? In the end, he really had nothing to do in the Mishkan. God put it up, and it only looked like he was doing it. So why? What was the idea? And lastly, why did he put it up and take it down all 7 days? He wasn't getting practice. He didn't have to do that later on. What was the purpose of putting it up and taking it down every day? So I want to explain a few different ideas here. First one is a principle that the Meshech Chochma says. In Judaism, there is nothing that has intrinsic holiness. Nothing. What gives things holiness is the Torah, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Ribbono Shel Olam communicates to us through the Torah. The Torah makes things holy, and the Torah makes things unholy. And there is nothing that has intrinsic holiness. I don't remember if I told you this story in a different context or not, but I'm going to tell it to you again anyway. When I was a rabbi in Miami, I had a balabos who had some kind of chronic condition, and it was under control. His wife called me on Tzom Gedalia one year, frantic, please save my husband's life. She said, calm down, what exactly is the problem? She said, we just went to the doctor, and the doctor examined my husband, and he said, according to the condition, the way his condition is now, he's not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. He must eat 3 regular meals on Yom Kippur. And when we left the doctor, my husband turned to me and he said, I have not eaten on Yom Kippur since my bar mitzvah, and I'm not going to start now. I don't care what the doctor said, I'm going to fast on Yom Kippur. And I'm afraid my husband's going to die. So you've got to talk some sense into him that he's got to eat on Yom Kippur. So I called the doctor, because the doctor was not a firm man, and I said to him, could you explain to me exactly why this man has to eat 3 regular meals? And he gave me all the medical information. I called another doctor, a firm doctor, and I said, if you had a patient who had exactly these conditions, what would you tell him to do on Yom Kippur? He said, I'd tell him to eat 3 regular meals, because otherwise his life's in danger. I called the man in. I said, I spoke to your wife, I spoke to your doctor, and I spoke to another doctor. And everybody agrees that you have to eat 3 regular meals on Yom Kippur. And that's what you have to do. The man looks at me and he says, Rabbi, you're a nice man. You're about half my age. I was a little bit younger then. And you can't run my life. You can't tell me what to do. And I haven't eaten on Yom Kippur since my bar mitzvah, and I'm not going to eat this Yom Kippur either. I said, that's very nice. You're right. I can't tell you what to do, but I do run this shul. And I'm telling you now that as soon as you leave my office, I'm going to call the gabbai of the shul and tell him never to give you another aliyah or any other kibbutz in this shul. He says, on what grounds? I said, because even if we are very lenient and give people who are not Shomer Shabbos aliyahs and kibudim, we've never given an Ovid Avodah Zarah a kibud in this shul. And you're an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He looked at me like I'm out of my mind. I said, look, the God that we worship in this shul says that you have to eat on Yom Kippur. You obviously worship a different God. Now, I don't care if your God is called Zeus, Chemosh, or Yom Kippur. You have the Yom Kippur God. The Yom Kippur God told you, you have to fast. Now, I don't really care if the Yom Kippur God told you have to fast or not, but if you worship the Yom Kippur God and not the God in our shul who says you should eat, then you can't get an aliyah here. He ate on Yom Kippur, l'maisa. But that is 100% true, right? The Yom Kippur is not holy to itself. Yom Kippur is holy because the Torah said it's holy. And if the same Torah said, in your condition you have to eat, then eating is what's holy. And fasting on Yom Kippur is not holy. The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is not, well, we'll get to that in a second. Eretz Yisrael is a very important thing. It's important because the Torah made it important. And if the Torah says, give back Eretz Yisrael to save Jewish life, you do that too. Unfortunately, right, giving back Eretz Yisrael is not going to save any Jewish lives either, so that's not the case. But if that would be the case, right, that in order to save Jewish lives, you have to give back Shtachim, Gedolei Yisrael said, that's what you do. Because Eretz Yisrael isn't important as a value to itself. What gives it importance is the Torah, and the Torah determines when and when not. The same thing with the Mishkan. That is why the Rabban Hashem did not want anyone to put together the Mishkan except Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu represented the Amud HaTorah. He was the giver of the Torah. And therefore, the Rabban Hashem said, if we put the Mishkan together just like this, people think the Mishkan is holy to itself. It's not. It's holy because the Torah makes it holy. And if the Torah says, knock down the Mishkan, you knock down the Mishkan. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu put it up for 7 days, and he took it down for 7 days. Not only, you have to have Emunas Chachamim, because God doesn't talk to us directly. Lo b'shamayim hi. So how do we know what the Torah wants? Through Gedolei Yisrael. Through the people who are entrusted to give us over the Torah. And therefore the Rabban Hashem said, Moshe, that is your role. Your role is to be my shliach. You're giving over the Torah. It's not your Torah. You're not putting up the Mishkan. I'm putting up the Mishkan, but through you. Because that is your role. I give the Torah through you. That's Emunas Chachamim. So we have to understand that what gives the Mishkan its effectiveness, that makes it able to be used, is the Torah. The Torah comes from Hashem, but it comes through a Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, even if the Moshe Rabbeinu is tearing down the Mishkan, you have to have Emunas Chachamim, that's what he's supposed to do. Not only when he's putting up the Mishkan, it looks to you like he's doing something positive, even if it appears to you that the Gadol is doing something negative, he's tearing down the Mishkan. That's also Emunas Chachamim. So that is the lesson, and that is the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do anything, that is his role. His role is to be the pipeline between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. It's not his Torah, it's God's Torah. But he chooses to give it through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not putting up the Mishkan. The Torah is putting up the Mishkan. But the Torah comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to be the shliach, has to be the agent that through which God puts up the Mishkan. That's one lesson. There's a second lesson. Similar but not the same. And that is, all the kelim of the Mishkan represented different things in Klal Yisrael. The Shulchan represented Parnosa, and the Aron represented Torah, and the Mizbeach HaKtoris represented Malchus, all these tremendous Midos and Milos. But how do you know if the Mida and the Milos is proper? And how do you know if that's a proper Mida or proper Mila? For instance, right, the Torah said Chesed. Right, do Chesed. What, how do you know if something is Chesed or it's not Chesed? Right? The Torah said, listen to your parents. How do you know if it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah? Sometimes listening to your parents is not a mitzvah. Sometimes it's a mitzvah. How do you know? The answer is the Torah tells you. Same idea. The Torah tells you what the parameters are of every single thing that the Mishkan contained. Not only does the Torah give the Mishkan its Kedusha, but it gives guidance of how to use the things in the Mishkan properly. Right? Without Torah, all these other things are meaningless because you don't know when to use them. Right? Keep it out of aim. It's a tremendous thing. When do you listen to your parents? When not? Parents tell you to Michal Shabbos. Are you supposed to listen to them? Torah says not. So the Torah guides you. Every mitzvah needs to be guided by the Torah. My Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Mordechai Katz, that's all, the Tosa Rosh Hashiva, said that's what it means. All these chasodim, it says in a list, right? Eilu dvorim sh'olam ochel peroseim b'olam azev akeren kayem shalabah kibud avoeim ugmilus chasodim, and so on and so on. The Talmud Torah keneged kulam. He said it doesn't mean that Talmud Torah is equal to all of them, because these are benorim lechaveiro, these are benorim lemakom. What it means is, in order to understand how to do those things, you need to look at it through the lens of Torah. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Put Talmud Torah opposite all of them, and understand them through Torah. That's how you can do those things properly. So if you want to be able to use the Mishkan properly, you're going to need the Torah to tell you how to use each keli the proper way. And it says in the Zohar, that's why they brought the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu. They brought it to him to see, so he could see, is this the same Mishkan that I saw up there in the heavens? Does it fit the same picture? Because if you don't have the Torah to guide you how it's supposed to be used, you could distort it completely. And there's an interesting Rosh. The Rosh says that it says in the Torah 19 times, Kasher Tzivu Hashem es Moshe, when they completed the Mishkan. Everything was done Kasher Tzivu Hashem es Moshe. And that hints to the 19 brachas in Shemon Esrei. 18 and the 19th is Lemal Shinim. Why? Because all davening, what I daven for, right, should I want the refuah? How parnasa? Right, what is Mashiach? All those things need to be directed by Torah. All those things could be distorted if you don't understand them properly through the Torah. So the Kasher Tzivu Hashem es Moshe, which went into every kli in the Mishkan, only the way that Moshe was commanded, and the Moshe told us, that's what the Rabbanu Shem told him, only the way that Moshe said, this is what was up there in the heavens, this is what the Mishkan is supposed to look like, only then is it a valid Mishkan. Only then does it have Kedusha, and only then can you know how to use it properly. Everything emanates from the Torah, right? That is what gives it its Kedusha, and that's what gives it its parameters. Both of those things. The and that's why it says that the Satan didn't fight against Avram Avinu. He didn't come to fight against Yitzchak. Who did he fight against? Yaakov. So the Chafetz Chaim explains the reason was the following. The Satan says, I could take chesed, because you could make chesed into distorted tremendously. Chesed can become something distorted. I can take avodah. You can make avodah into avodah zorah. Right? I can't take Torah. Because if there's Torah, then the chesed is real chesed, and the avodah is real avodah. Without Torah, all the other midos can be totally distorted. But if you have the Torah to guide you, right, then the chesed has to be chesed, and then the avodah has to be avodah. So the Satan felt it necessary to fight against Yaakov Avinu, who's the Amud HaTorah, and not Keneged Avram and Yitzchak. Chesed he could take, and avodah he could take, but not when there's Torah. So that is the lesson. I think that's the lesson also of the Paraduma. Okay? The Paraduma was a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. What was basically the Chet HaEgel? That they felt that there was an eagle that could have Kedusha by itself, and he takes the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu also has Kedusha in himself. He's there to do it for us. And that was a mistake, because the purpose of the leader is not to do it for you, not to be a power to himself, but just to teach you Torah. That's the purpose of the Gadol, to be the pipeline between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, and to teach you Torah how to do it properly. So the Parah Aduma, what do? We bring the mother, it says. The eagle was the kid. When the kid makes a mess at a party, you bring the mother to clean it up, right? Because it comes to show that, what's it called, that this everything emanates from Hashem, just like this ego came from a para, and the para came from another para, all the way back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The purpose of the leader is also not to be a kedusha to himself, but to pass on. What's the purpose of the mother? The purpose of the mother is not to feed the child and carry it around his whole life. It's to feed him and carry him until he can do it on his own. That's the purpose of the leader, to teach you and to guide you. And therefore, the Parah Aduma represents the leader whose purpose is to teach you Torah. Then what do you put together with the Parah Aduma and burn it all together? And Eitz Erez, what gives importance? And Eitz Erez is a big cedar tree. What gives importance to these things in the world? Right? It's nothing unless you put together the Mayim Chayim, the Torah. So you burn the Eitz Erez. What is intrinsically important in this world is only because the Torah makes it important. And it can take the ashes of an Eitz Erez and make it important. But without that, the Eitz Erez is worthless. And the Shnit, and the what's it called, the Azov, represents humility. In order to accept the guidance of the Torah, you have to be humble. Because if you're a big Balgaiva, you won't accept what the Torah says, you'll think you know better. And the third thing is the Shnit Olas, the Torah. It's a dyed piece of wool. The Torah gives color to everything. Everything has to be looked at through the prism of the Torah, through the lens of the Torah. The Torah colors everything to the proper color it's supposed to be. So you take all those ideas, you take them together with the Parah Aduma that represents that the purpose of the leader is to be like a mother, to help you, to teach you how to do it, not to do it for you, not to be an intrinsic power to himself. Put that all together and burn it, and then you put it together with Mayim Chayim, with spring water, which represents the Torah, and that's how people become Tahar. That's how you have a connection to the Rabbanu Shalom. You want to go into the Mishkan, you want to eat Karbanos, you have to have the Tahara of the Parah Aduma, right? That gives you the ability to benefit from the Kedusha of the Mishkan. And that is why before we start, and that was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Klal Yisrael. The bracha was the Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. Before anything, if you want the Shechina to be Shorah B'Masa Yedeichem, the Noam Hashem. Noam is the Torah. Drachecha Darchei Noam. If you want to have the Shechina be, he has to go through the Torah. And then Ma'aseh Yodeinu Konin Aleinu. If you have the Torah guiding you, then what you do will influence you, and what you are will influence the whole world. Ma'aseh Yodeinu Konin Nehu. And that's why it says that even though the Parah Aduma wasn't made until after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we read Parshas Parah before Parshas HaChodesh, because it's Tarasan Shel Yisrael. You can't start the Geula. You can't have the first mitzvah unless you understand that even the mitzvahs, even Chesed, even the Mishkan can't have any value unless the Torah gives it value. So the first thing you do is the Parah Aduma, Tahara Shel Yisrael, which teaches me this lesson. The purpose of the leader is to teach you and guide you through the Torah, and then you can have mitzvahs. And we explained that, what's it called, that I think we remember way back, that's why the Torah started with Bereishis. To tell me that first you have to know what the foundations of the Torah are, the Torah outlook on the world. That's what you get from Bereishis. How the Avos saw the world through the Torah, and then you can have mitzvahs. Because if you don't base your values and standards on the Torah, you do it on your own, then you can distort all the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs can't exist. So that is the lesson why Moshe Rabbeinu had to put up the Mishkan, and even though he didn't actually put it up, God put it up, but he put it up through Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And that's Moshe Rabbeinu's role, to invest Kedusha in the Mishkan through the Torah. That's the only way they can become Kodesh. The Torah says it's Kodesh, and how to use it is only guided by what the Torah says the proper usage is. And not only do you have to have Emunah in the Chacham, who is transmitting the Torah to you, when it looks like he's putting up the Mishkan, but even if the Gadol is tearing down the Mishkan, we say that Stira Zekein in Binyan. But a Gadol tears down, that's called building. Because sometimes the tearing down is for the sake of building. So Emunas Chachamim is not only when the Gadol is doing what appears to us to be good, even what the Gadol appears to be doing is negative and destructive. We have to have Emunas Chachamim that's what the Torah wants. Sometimes you have to tear down the Mishkan and not put it up. And if the Gadol says tear down the Mishkan, then that's Ratzon Hashem. The Mishkan has no intrinsic value and Kedusha unless the Torah gives it that value. Just like Yom Kippur doesn't have a value, Eretz Yisrael doesn't have a value, nothing in this world has any Kedusha and value to itself. The Torah is what gives it the Kedusha and the value, and the Torah gives it the guidance of how to use it properly. Okay, now, any other questions? Answer them.
The Mishkan, they built the Mishkan in Midbar.
No, he didn't build it again. He put it up. In order to, they had all the parts, and they couldn't. They couldn't take the beams and put them up. They were too heavy. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who put up all the beams and erected the Mishkan. So he put, and then he put all the kelim in properly. So it was like a Lego set. All the pieces were there. But they couldn't put them together. No, so they built it from after Yom Kippur till Chanukah, Kislev. It was finished. They left it, and they were going to put it up then in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And when they came to put it up, they couldn't put the beams up. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who actually put up the beams and assembled all the pieces that they had made, all the kelim and all the pieces and all the what's it called, the beams or whatever, all made. Just had to be put together and put up. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did.